It's a shame about not being able to do it next week, but like I say, next Tuesday, I think it's probably the day for it. Or even Monday morning. Monday morning at maybe 5 o'clock.
It's Tuesday for what?
The podcast. So of course, we can't make the show next week because I've got a couple of flake bars to it. Actually, I've got one here now.
Just being Adam.
Being mean. Oh, you mean the Con GT one?
Oh, is it Con GT next week? Damn.
Yeah.
Oh, you should have said. I might have been able to sort something out. Oh.
Adam.
I've broken a nail. Maybe I guess obviously with this broken nail, it will make it very difficult for me to operate my equipment.
Yeah, I thought Kirby being on, he would let you know that right away.
Andy has appeared and he's not late.
Wow. Woohoo, Deb, you're a weeping angel.
I'm commented about that.
Skype is now an angel.
Oh, I suppose if everybody's here, I'd better get my equipment ready.
Hi, Andy.
Oh, there's Andy.
Hello, because I'm
congratulations on your run.
Thank you. Personal, best as well. It's unbelievable. I'm rather stiff, but yeah.
The funny thing is, my lovely...
That's what she said.
My lovely friend Sarah Holmes is a very keen runner, and she posted a picture on Facebook of her finishing a half marathon, and the time on the clock said 12:35 or something like that. And, of course, people were saying, that's a long time you took to run a marathon. I'm sure it would be quicker to walk it. And I said, no, I don't know what's wrong with the clock. It took me 2.5 hours, she said.
That's still rather slow, 2.5 hours.
She's a woman.
There's a lot of women beat me.
She's a woman with little legs.
My wife has got little legs, and she has beaten me in the past. That's what she said.
She's beaten you in the past. Well, we're talking about
that's what she said.
Completely different subject at the moment. Deary me.
Oh, right, stars, you mean to go on, why not?
So, Kirby, there won't be a live podcast then next Sunday.
Yes, there will. He's being weird.
Weird? What do you mean weird?
British sense of humour.
Well, when I came in, you were talking about how you couldn't record next Sunday.
Yeah, he was winding you up.
If you could hear what we were talking about before you came on, then you'd understand that it was a ruse to...
Did the same thing before I got up.
Oh, hello, Shares. Shares back.
Shares here again, yes.
Even life after love.
I Faith Feed Services in association with Who1.co.uk presents the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast, episode 258. I'm Adam, and our destiny is in the stars, so let's go and search for it. And here's Debbie Melrose.
It will be the guillotine for all of us.
Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
I can't decide whether you're a rogue or a half-wit, or both. However, I will give you the benefit of the doubt.
Andy Nunney.
Perhaps you should tell me over a glass of wine.
And the ravishing Mary Lang.
A crowded street and a successful rescue never mix.
Now, if I was a,
I think I need that glass of wine.
If I was a type of podcaster that did editing, I'd let you do that again, but I'm not, so I'm going to carry on. This week, we're going to be looking at The Reign of Terror, and I can feel if we were a different podcast, we may indeed argue about this one, but I'm feeling we're not going to argue, but there are going to be differing opinions. Because Kirby likes to let things slip on the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook, which you can join. While the title sequence loads up, I will tell you that I did attempt to get Tom Atter, formerly of the former Doctor Who podcast, to join us permanently, but he sort of hasn't answered properly yet. He just said when and then didn't answer my answer to his answer. So at the moment, it's a bit up in the air, but... It is in my plans to try and tempt Tom, who apparently still wants to do podcasting, to join the show.
So he's the one that sounded the most disappointed about.
Yeah. So if you want to, any of you lot want to hound Tom Atter into joining us on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, please do so. I've a funny feeling that Kirby's going to scare him off, but never mind. Right.
I stopped listening to that podcast.
Well, that's certainly going to scare him off. Well, certainly stopped listening because it's not on anymore. Yeah.
Did you hear me?
I saw that they had stopped. I hadn't listened to that.
And didn't they stop on a funny number? 292.
Yeah, some weird number. But yeah. But Tom is a lot like a Matthew. He's like an encyclopedia of Doctor Who.
Yes, but I like Tom. So he'd be ideal for this show. Or him and, who's the chap that was on Radio Rassilon? The one, the Radio Rassilon bloke. Oh, good grief, I can't remember his name. He used to listen to the show. They sent us in some feedback in the very early days. It was Leeson. That's it. Sorry, Leeson.
Oh, yes.
Oh, Leeson Fisher, yeah.
Used to come on.
I did ask Leeson, and he did actually answer, and he did say no. But I did. It was a long time ago, before he joined the Doctor Who podcast, funny enough.
Can we get Ian Kirk on one day?
Maybe. Oh, hang on, the co-founder of the show is just launching herself into the room. Here we go. Stand by for possibility of swear words.
Who's breathing into the microphone?
Probably Matt. Yes, probably
who's
Andy.
That?
No, it's not me. It's not me. My microphone's up above my head. So
your mother's still up, by the way. So
it's not me.
The co-founder of the show being a co-founder.
I'd have to be climbing on top of my computer to breathe into the microphone.
Good Lord.
Never mind. It's not the breathing into microphone podcast. Speaking into the microphone podcast. Right then. They've arrived in a place they think is Earth and they hope is London in the 20th century. But obviously turns out it isn't. But they don't find out this until they've had a little bit of wander around. The Doctor's a bit grumpy with Ian, but Ian tries to sort of creep him a little bit to sort of.
I like Barbara doing the eyelash fluttering at him. That was really cool.
She does that all the time.
I know, but she was leaning on his shoulder, fluttering at him. It was brilliant.
So yes.
The Doctor doesn't seem nearly as grumpy as he was at the end of the last.
Yeah, well, he's had time.
Story
to,
though,
he's had time.
He's mellowed
sort of
a bit.
Yeah, because they've all been sort of pandering to him a little bit, haven't they? Anyway, they go out and find a little urchin boy who seems a bit stooped over, as if there's something stuck to his backside or something. It's a strange way. Maybe Jimmy Savile was in the woods behind him. And, I don't know.
Well, that's him buggered, isn't it?
No. Oh, hang on. That's got to be worth a...
Uh-oh.
And also, it means also guarantees that Tom obviously will not join the show after all. But so it was worth a try. But yes, so they meet this little urchin boy, and they realise they're in France.
Even though the little urchin boy sounds like he's in England.
Yeah, well, course, that's the TARDIS voice translator doodah thingy.
Yeah, they all are.
How do they all speak perfect French now? Or is this the first time we've had the TARDIS translations circuit involved?
No.
It's not mentioned, but I think they allude to it.
They were speaking Chinese a few stories ago.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Here they are. Obviously, they're all speaking perfect idiomatic French, and everyone's understanding them perfectly.
Very formal Parisian French as well. Yes.
Indeed, yes.
As they did when they were speaking perfect Chinese a few years ago.
Yeah.
When was the first reference to the TARDIS translation circuit then?
Tom Baker.
Tom Baker, yeah.
It's a fair way away, isn't it?
There's a gift he allows Sarah to share, if I remember rightly. By the way, Debbie, have a listen to this.
What?
Does that remind you of anything?
No.
That's a bottle of water you left around my house last week.
Oh, I wondered where that got to. Fair enough.
Moving
Thank
back
you
to
very much.
So anyway, so they're in France and they
thirsty now.
Decide instead of thinking, oops, this isn't quite where they wanted to be, and didn't consider the dangers that he might be in the middle of a revolutionary period in their history of that particular nation, they decided to have a little poke around. And
conveniently find different sized clothing.
Yeah, well, that's right. They go into a house and find a chest full of clothes. So they decide to change into said clothing.
Perfectly.
It's very video gamey, this bit.
Is it?
Yeah, quite conveniently found a...
Oh yeah, it's a bit like
room to change into
Resident
Evil. Yeah, exactly. Well, it's a bit friendlier. Yeah.
Resident Evil 1, yes. so they immediately get guns pointed at them, or muskets, I suppose you'd call them, by a couple of sort of people. One seems to be quite friendly, the chap with the dark hair, and the other one's a bit sort of edgy and wants to shoot them. That's the blonde-haired one. But
well, like in that bit,
that's the ones, yes.
The great bit is when they're in the forest and they hear shots and they said, oh, it must be a rabbit. What, you like, rabbits in France are armed, are they? You mean armed rabbits?
Yes.
Scary. I mean,
evolution.
Anyway, the Doctor's wandered upstairs at this point while the others face a little bit of ambush. And unfortunately, Rouvray and his little friend don't last very long.
Yeah.
Nope.
That's it. Donk.
Yeah, the Doctor. How did he end up unconscious, by the way?
He got hit over the head by Dargenson, I think.
Oh, that's the one, yeah. So, and this time...
There's a lot of people get hit over the head during this entire story.
At least Susan doesn't twist her ankle, but... yeah, so...
No, she gets a fever, doesn't she? Bless
they all get arrested, apart from the Doctor, who gets left to burn to death.
I like the bit about the fact they've all changed clothes. They're all in the same room, and they've all changed their clothes.
Apart from the Doctor.
Like, well, yeah, but it's like, hang on a minute, there's Ian's going to get a right eye for there, isn't he?
He would have turned away like the gentiles.
Yeah, of course he would have done.
Probably all their backs to each other.
Yes. So, very British and very embarrassed and as quick as possible.
They're still using the old, you know, drawings for you know, oh, this is where we're in ancient Paris. So I'll show a drawing of ancient Paris and then a sort of film of a guillotine dropping down.
Yeah.
Just to sort of emphasize the fact that that's where they are.
It was a bit disturbing, Master.
Yes.
Sorry.
It was a bit disturbing watching the making of video on the DVD because every time you switched between interviews, a guillotine would come down.
Well, that was quite good because that would indicate how often the guillotine did in fact fall.
Mm.
Possibly. I don't know if it would be on YouTube. I have the DVD, so.
Fall.
Yeah.
Must have been cut, of course.
Eh?
It must have been cut, the guillotine scenes.
Oh, I see. Sorry, that's done it. Yeah, sorry. There we go. I suppose I better turn up the sound so you can hear the those particular sound effects. Right, so they've been arrested. They've been bunged in prison. The Doctor, meanwhile, gets rescued by the little urchin boy. And
nice punk haircut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he goes on his merry way through Isle of Wight Farm. First ever bit of... location. It's not even William Hartnell, but it's location shooting. But it's not necessarily on the Isle of Wight. It's just called Isle of Wight.
I love the fact that he walks because now he'd just jump in the TARDIS and shoot there, you know. And it's quite nice that he walks. Yeah. Just I don't trust the TARDIS very much. I'm just gonna use my legs. I think you know.
Now, Master.
Yes.
Master.
Yeah.
Yeah. The fields are on this farm called the Isle of Wight Farm.
Yes.
The lane with the poplars,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He goes down. That is in Denham. It's just south of the Denham Aerodrome.
Well, there you go.
Oh, yeah.
But nice that the phrase of Wight gets a mention. Thank you very much.
Even though it's not the Isle of Wight, yes. Why is why is it called the Isle of Wight Farm?
I don't blimmin' know.
You know all these things. But, yeah, they had quite a hard time finding a row of poplar trees that would make it look like France because they don't really grow well in England.
Anyway, so, this is when Susan starts annoying me a little bit when they're in prison and Barbara's being very resourceful. She's trying to find a way of digging a hole in it. And,
I think Susan's annoying all the way through.
Well, she's particularly annoying in episode 2. Anyway, meanwhile...
Yeah. Master.
There's rats. I can't dig where there are rats.
Yeah, Master. Exactly. She's an alien. She shouldn't mind rats. Yes?
Part of the problem with Susan's performance, particularly in the second episode, is they were having problems with the director. His English wasn't very good, and he had never really directed anything that wasn't a stage play before.
His English wasn't very good? Was he Welsh?
No, his... No, he was, I don't remember.
Scottish?
Eastern European of some sort, I believe. I can find out later. But he didn't really give them much direction.
Henry
he would tell them, yeah, he would tell them to, he would basically say action and they do stuff. And then because he didn't tell them, he didn't give them any direction.
Stop breathing on your microphone. Brief. Stop it.
Right. Who is that?
I'm going to get magic in here in a minute.
I don't know.
He would then...
It's Andy.
It's Andy, yes.
It's not. I deny that.
The director would then complain. He'd argue with them about the poor performance they did, but he didn't tell them how to do the performance. And it got so bad that William Hartnell really did not like him at all in particularly during the filming of the second episode, the director basically collapsed up in the control room. And I'm trying to remember who took over for the last few minutes of recording that night. I still can't believe they record these things. They record these things in one night. And by the next week, everyone had made up, and he started actually doing his job and directing them, and William Hartnell was no longer arguing with him.
Splendid.
Yeah, but that doesn't account for Susan's annoying performance throughout.
Well, she says in an interview in the making of that she really wasn't being given much direction for how to do it.
Well, she says in a loose canon interview that from there on, nobody really knew what to do with her. So they just kept telling her, you know, right, to kind of stand off to the side or, you know, cry or whatever. And that's why she chose to leave eventually.
Yeah, she said that at one point during that rat scene, they had filmed it once and the director came up to her and said something like, "Don't be so maudlin." He couldn't pronounce maudlin. And she couldn't understand. Maudlin. Yeah. And that's the word he was using.
Minlibium.
Yeah. Anyway, meanwhile, Ian has befriended a rather ill man in his cell who is basically on his last legs. Or
he was Hungarian. The director was Hungarian.
Yes, I'm talking about the character that Ian's
Webster.
With Webster, who breathes a few last words of basically tells Ian to do this. He's only just met him, but Ian decides that he's going to.
But he immediately trusts him to yeah. reveal his secrets. Yeah.
He's English. He's an Englishman. So there okay. you go.
The doctor bumps into some road diggers.
Random scene, that yeah. one.
It's quite funny because he gets a bit rude to the chief road digger and ends up having to do some digging himself because of, he could have just walked on, but he decided to insult him and ended up having to do a bit of digging. And the funny thing is, his pickaxe acting was a lot better than the others, I noticed, in that particular
yes.
section.
We got to say how brilliant the extras were throughout this. Actually, the mumbling in French was brilliant.
Okay,
I wouldn't know.
So no, anyway, the way they just went.
Barbara has a couple. They're going to have their heads chopped off. I'm sure Susan was aware of this, and Barbara is trying to be very resourceful and trying to get them out of the place. But Susan sort of moans and grumbles. Oh, okay, Susan.
My hands.
I'll rest with you instead of trying to save our lives.
Yeah.
So it's very irritating. But the doctor is very doctorish in the way he manages to get out of the road digging situation by
it's an eclipse.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
By being very violent for the doctor.
Yeah, but he has to be. He's has to
I like, I like the touch with the coin on his eye as he
yeah.
goes.
Yeah. And of course the episode ends with Ian spotting Susan Barbara on their way to the guillotine. As a lot of people tend to be in this particular story.
Vive la Revolution.
Yeah, indeed. But they do get rescued very quickly by Jules and who's the other chap?
Jean.
Jules and Jean.
Jules and Jean.
Saying there's nobody called Jean-Paul to sort of be a stereotypical French in this particular story.
I work with a lawyer called
yeah,
Jean-Paul.
Yeah, but I noticed that...
He's not French.
Sorry?
It's a French
name. I work with a lawyer called Jean-Paul. He's not French.
Yes, but it's a French name.
Cool. Yeah, but he's not French.
Oh, be quiet. For God's sake.
Yes, master.
Right, yeah, so we meet Limitre, yes, whose name gets pronounced wrong for the whole story.
Yes.
And all over the place,
to,
yes.
He refers to Jules as Jules later on, just quite yeah. frankly. It says Jules.
Yeah. Master?
Yes.
Master, you may have noticed the quality of the scenes with Ian
yeah, they're filmed
were a little more grainy home, because those right. were filmed.
We all know that.
Yes.
Well, I'm still explaining it to the people who may not know it.
Listen to the last episode or two episodes ago. Listen to the show. Go back and listen to every single episode, every 257 previous episodes of the 20 Thing About Doctor Who podcast.
The funny thing is that he was on holiday in France.
Was he? Oh dear. Right. So, of course, some interesting scene this where you know the key is left in the in the lock, and he's able to, you know, undo the lock and swap the keys around, etc., etc. And of course, we find out later on that it was in fact Sterling that enabled this to happen.
How did he enable that to happen?
He called the jailer away just so he and obviously the key got stuck in the lock. He must have been peeping around the corner and saw that the key was in the lock, and he called him away with the plan for leaving the key in there, because he saw he was having trouble getting the key out of the lock.
It's a bit feeble, isn't it?
No, I think that's good enough for me. Sorry.
Okay, all right. You're the master. I won't argue.
No, that's good enough for me. And again, Barbara and Susan are being carted through the streets of Paris, awaiting the guillotine. And again, they have a chance to escape, but Susan's whinging. And Barbara, it's all right, I'll give you a cuddle instead. That'll save our lives, Susan.
You really want to slap Susan this episode, don't you? I mean, she really does deserve a good crack off the back of the head. Shut up, you.
She wasn't very well, to be fair to her, but still, she was well enough to leg it. Yes.
Yeah. Well, by this point, they were already making plans for the next season.
Yes.
And yes, season, not series. Yes. And they were beginning to figure out in negotiating contracts, and they had already decided by the point where they were filming this that they were writing season out.
Yeah, your share sound effect there was writing Susan out, listeners. That was what Kirby said.
I think we were that last
again. Yes, thank you very much. Right then, so but Susan and Barbara get rescued by Jules and Jean. Meanwhile, the doctor goes into the shop of some bloke and decides to borrow essentially a costume of a provincial
master.
What?
It's interesting looking at the at all the various clothing on that hanging on that rack.
Yes,
because they all have modern labels in them.
That's true. I noticed that.
They wouldn't be modern Kirby. They were printed in 1964. They're not modern at all. That's like 30, 40 years ago, 50 years ago. Not modern at all.
Nice one, Andy. It's a time travel show. I like that.
It's in my son.
Also, in France at the time this is set, they didn't hang clothes like that.
Did they not?
They put them on in wardrobes or on shelves. They didn't hang them.
How naughty they are to get that bit wrong.
Well, I knew that.
Bad research.
Right. So the doctor negotiates a swap for his clothes and the provincial clothes.
The ring. Yes. Swaps his ring.
Yes, but of course the bloke who he swaps it with is what many people in France this time are all a bunch of traitors, and they're like...
Informer, wasn't he?
Meanwhile, Ian gets out and...
I love the way they get in and out of the prison.
Yeah, they do a bit. And Barbara.
The whole thing about the whole story is, I mean, it's like, this is six episodes, it could be three easily, because they're in the episode, in prison, out of prison, in prison, out of prison. It's like, for goodness sake, what are you trying to do?
It's like that, you know? Catch and release.
Anyway, meanwhile, Barbara and Susan are showing Jean the map. Or basically how they came to arrive in France. Yes.
I like the way they work out where they are.
Believe it or not, that is a fairly accurate map.
Oh, way.
Well, they did their research all right for that, then.
Yeah. Grief.
Are we being a bit too big for you, Adam?
And then who's that smarmy bloke that turns up? Who's in a...
Leon,
that's right. He's in a future episode of Doctor Who. He's also in... isn't he in Rent-A-Ghost? He was in Rent-A-Ghost.
Yes, he was in Rent-A-Ghost.
Yeah, so I found out today that Linda LaPlante was in Rent-A-Ghost.
Yeah.
Oh, because I watched The Chase, you see, and that was one of the questions on The Chase. I thought that was very interesting. I never knew that. I used to watch Rent-A-Ghost.
I love Rent-A-Ghost.
Brilliant, wasn't it? Look it up on YouTube, Rent-A-Ghost. Anyway, this chap, Leon, was in Rent-A-Ghost. But I'm pretty sure he was also in, is he in The War Games? He's in a future episode of Doctor Who somewhere along the line as well.
There's people at work, I reckon, like, I look at, with my goatee beard, I look at the guys in Rent-A-Ghost, and there's people at work accused, I mean, it's Claypole, isn't it?
Claypole,
that's yes,
right, yeah. Yes, and that's what they say, I look at Mr. Claypole.
That's one programme that BBC should, with the current abilities.
Dobbin was my favourite.
Current abilities with, you know, special effects, bring back Rent-A-Ghost. They've brought back blooming Poldark, bring back Rent-A-Ghost.
Yeah, that's on, isn't it? It's on right now.
It is. I'm not going to watch
right,
it.
I'm off.
No, I didn't like the original series.
No, is that man with his shirt off? That's all it is, Debbie. My goodness, you're such a hussy, aren't you?
Just trying to think. Who's that? And Harrod Reese. She was in the original series.
I love the original.
That's the only thing I used to watch Pulled Up For, the original series, was because and Harrod Reese, who sadly passed away quite recently, actually, because she was so beautiful. Back to Doctor Who.
My mum had it on video. I loved it.
Yes. Absolutely. So you might like the new series then.
That's the word.
Oh, Cher's back again.
Cyber Kirby.
Yeah. Every bloody week, innit? Anyway, right, so I do like the jailer. I think he's a really good character.
Oh,
yeah.
And
comedy jailer.
Yeah, comedy jailer. And the doctor and he seem to have quite a good little double act going on. Meanwhile, old smarmy Leon is trying to get inside. Inside Barbara's mind.
Inside Barbara, exactly.
Inside Barbara's mind, thank you, Mary. And succeeds quite well. She does tend to fall for the bad uns, doesn't she, Barbara?
Well, she quite liked that guy in Daleks, didn't she?
Yeah, exactly. Was he a baddie?
Master?
Yes.
No, he wasn't a baddie. He was one of the blonde guys.
Yeah.
Mm. Hang on, I'm looking back through my notes.
Master?
Yes?
When we see the doctor comes in to talk to the jailer, and we see the jailer pick up that flag of wine or whatever it is, there is a very prominent prompt label on the bottom of the flask.
Pardon?
Yes, I'm thinking that
there's a label.
Might have to give a new task to Kirby is writing out a transcript of his contributions to the show for listeners to fill in when he speaks later on the show. But anyway, thank you for
what,
that.
Kirby. Can you not
hear me?
There we go.
Barbara liked Gannatus in the Daleks.
That's it.
There you go.
That.
Went back through my notes.
Anyway. Can I be understood?
Well, sort
yes, you
of.
Can now.
Yeah, I was. Ooh. I had opened another web page. That's
well,
what causes
don't open web pages. Good grief!
You can open
what
one.
I,
one
what box. I had, was saying was. When the jailer is drinking his flask
urine?
Of wine.
Oh, sorry, that's another. That's Bear Grylls, isn't it? Sorry. Yeah, carry on.
No,
flask
Black
of wine.
Adder.
No, it's Bear Grylls. Do not watch a Bear Grylls thing.
No.
No, you need to because it's horrendous.
There's a prop label on the bottom of his flask of wine.
Oh, Kirby, spoil sport. Anyway, right. I wonder if that's in the animated that's version as well, because now we're into the animated episodes. Now, well, the first time when I got these this particular DVD with the animated episodes on it, this is where I started to lose the plot a little bit when first watching it. but
I saw this. Well,
I tried to watch it in one go at the time, and I was just watching the animation and finding it a bit irritating that it was a very poor rendition of the characters.
It's like it's a different director.
Yeah,
because whoever did the animation doesn't do it in the same directorial
same
style.
Yeah, it's zooming into the mouths and the eyes and things.
Yeah,
I find that really irritating.
The quick leap from screenshot.
At times, I think we're dealing with different characters, and then it's like, oh no, that's the same guy.
Yeah, I got my. Basically, watching the second time round, and obviously I found watching all these episodes better to try and watch it day by day rather than in one fell swoop.
Exactly.
So that's what I've been doing, and I've been enjoying them a lot better watching them in that format. And the same for these animated episodes. The second time round, I was able to the story flowed better for me now because I've got used to the animation. Whereas the first time I saw it, I was just looking at it and thinking, "Oh, that's terrible." But now it's there, and it's better than a reconstruction.
Well,
to be
I had
fair.
Problems with Dailymotion. And I found I found episode 4 actually just in pictures, much like Marco Polo.
Yeah.
And then Dailymotion messed up, and I finally found it in animation.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't get to grips with the way it just sort of just went click 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 face close up face this move.
It was better in the second animated episode.
I have the same problems as you, Debbie. I tried to watch in Dailymotion. I mean, the number of times that it fell over and crashed. I mean, my laptop nearly went into the fish pond.
Yeah.
But it was
every time
just
press pause. It would just that was it. You couldn't go back.
It is,
back out. Yeah.
Anyway, so we do meet Robespierre, and so does the Doctor. In fact, meets Robespierre and. He's a very suspicious man.
That was a great scene with the Doctor and Robespierre.
It was, but the Doctor.
It really shows how good an actor William Hartnell was.
Yeah, he did steal the scene quite clearly in that one. Yeah, sorry, carry on. No, I thought you were going to say something, Debbie.
Oh, no, no, I was just going to say that even with just the pictures, you could see that he was really acting. He wasn't just chewing the scenery. He was up against another good actor. And it really shows when he does that, you know, an actor.
Yeah.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yes, Master, the way I felt while watching that scene was it showed to me, the audience, what Susan had said in episode one, that this was the Doctor's favorite period of history.
Yeah.
And it showed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
so
I think it could just show that Hartnell was enjoying himself acting with these people.
Mm.
Jean and Jules have managed to...
Jean and Jules?
Yeah. Basically, they've dragged an unconscious body into the house. And turns out to be Ian, of course, the... Very emotional reunion.
How lucky.
Yeah, of Barbara and Ian. And of course, Ian very quickly becomes party to their little sort of, what would you call it? Plan? Conspiracy. Conspiracy, that's the word I was looking for.
That's it.
And Susan is still ill, and Barbara keeps on disappearing out of the room saying, I'll just go and see how Susan is.
That was the best part of Susan being in this entire story was when she was ill and we didn't have to deal with her.
Yeah. I'll just go and see how Susan is. Anyway, they get arrested again anyway because it turns out that that Leon is a bit of a baddie. And of course, it also means that Ian ends up sort of getting caught again because he gets threatened by Leon's... cronies.
The whole crap, they all get arrested, they get arrested, and my goodness, are they thick or what? I mean, you know, they said that people arrest them, like, run away, go somewhere very, very quiet and private and get out of sight, and it's like, no, they don't. They walk back in again, and, oh, but I've been arrested again, haven't I? Are they thick or what?
Yes. Anyway, I think it's...
The animated Susan does not look like Susan at all.
It does in a couple of scenes. Anyway, of course, the Barbara and the Doctor are reunited, which delights Barbara, and that's another good little scene when the Doctor and Barbara, you know, are together in that in the cell, and sort of the Doctor's taking everything really calmly because he knows he's basically in complete control of the whole situation, which I really like. Meanwhile, obviously, Ian's sort of chained up. It's not 50 Shades of Doctor Who; it's in fact Shackles.
And say it, them masochism is never to say you're sorry.
Does result in Jules, I think, killing Leon. Of course, Ian has to sort of...
A drama.
Yeah, sort of say, he needed to do it to Barbara later on, which was quite interesting. Barbara's not very happy with this, even though he's a baddie. But she's trying to put a good idea that it depends on what side. It's a political thing, you know, just because you don't agree with one side of politics doesn't mean...
There's good people on both sides.
Exactly, which I thought was quite...
This is sort of the Aztecs, isn't it? You know, trying to see both sides of the case and just missing the point completely. I mean, she should have realised the fact that Leon actually was a pretty nasty piece of work because, you know, the revolutionaries were not exactly the most pleasant guys in the world, as were the Aztecs. You think she'd have learnt by this, but obviously...
She does refer to that in a bit when she's talking to the Doctor,
So. Oh, a bit later on she does, yes, but you think she should have spotted the fact that Leon, he actually didn't quite really care about who he's going to put in the guillotine and how the head was lopped off. So, you're quite keen on this guy and he quite happily will lop people's heads off. Yeah, what a nice guy, yes.
Yeah, isn't he lovely?
I mean, that's not a person who's caught up in the middle of events view.
Meanwhile, the Doctor and Susan are reunited in the prison, but you can't quite get
breathing right. Into the microphone.
As you know that is. There's no problem inside.
The microphone away a little bit.
No, I will not move my microphone away.
No, not yours. Andy.
I'm drinking wine, so move it away. First of all, yes, I haven't pointed out. I've got a bottle on there, right? It's a bottle of Fastino.
Yeah.
And I need to take my glasses off so I can read it. It's Silver Collection 2013.
Fastino, doesn't he play
for
Brazil?
It's a white Rioja. And it's rather good, and my wife can't have any.
Yeah, but doesn't he play for Brazil, that Fastino, Blake?
Yeah, well, the way they play at the moment, probably not.
Yes, Kirby?
I said nothing.
Oh, I thought you did. Anyway, that's right. So basically the episode ends with Barbara sulking about the death of her fancy piece.
Oh, well, she's gormly, she is.
Yeah.
But it doesn't last long. She soon forgives him in the beginning of episode 6. And we're back to normal action, which is very interesting to see how they overlaid the animated version of this scene with what we actually got to see at the beginning of the episode. I love the long pause, the crossroads pause, while all the titles go over the screen. They're all standing in the room, so I thought it was
blinking
quite funny.
Blinking slightly.
So we find out...
This is the title sequence.
We find out that Lumitra, obviously, if you've watched this episode, you'll know this. If you haven't, you shouldn't be listening to this podcast. Lumitra is, in fact, James Sterling, and I did like that little twist. And
who else worked it out from the beginning?
Yes, they'd also, of course...
not me.
There's another little
I'll
plan.
I'll explain later.
To have Barbara and Ian as pretending to be runners of this bar or pub.
Oh, were they doing that efficiently?
They were indeed, yes.
In that first scene, Hartnell obviously flubs his lines a couple of times, but William Russell also completely forgot many of his lines, and Sterling or whatever his name is, Sterling, was doing a very good job of following what Ian was saying. And responding properly, even though it wasn't in the script that way.
So he's basically paraphrasing.
Yeah.
Yes.
That doesn't matter. As long as he got the gist of it, right? That doesn't matter, does it?
Well, anyway, I watched this on Daily Motion, and the version I got French subtitles, and there's a great bit, which is the doctor Hartnell says, "Oh, I got the nerve news," and the subtitle actually picks at the Billy fluff and actually puts it in on the subtitles on Daily Motion with the Billy fluff. It's brilliant.
It did it every time someone fluffed it, put it in.
It is. Yeah, the subtitles were there. Yes, as well.
Anyway, like I say, Barbara and Ian are running this bar, and Napoleon sort of wanders in.
Doing holes in the wall.
Yeah, and he did look like Napoleon, didn't he? It's a brilliant bit of casting, yes.
Master. On this particular day in, what is it, 1796 or whatever it is.
It's not going to be here.
Napoleon was actually several hundred miles away.
Okay, I thought you were going to say
1794.
That.
1794.
He was in Nice.
Okay, but...
Oh, but it must have been double. It might have been a cover up, mind this.
Right, can I just say, Kirby?
It's true.
Sometimes complete details like that ruin the story. Right? Let's look at it another way, right?
Well, the thing is that I saw this, and then I went back to read the history and discovered...
Don't let history get in the way of a good story.
I was thinking, wow, this is cool, because I thought I knew that Barras was... Mm-hmm. involved with things. So I thought, oh, this really happened. And they were putting this in there, and it discovered that it didn't happen.
Right. Well, let's look at it another way.
With the whole business with Robespierre getting
shot
in
himself.
The jaw.
He tried to kill himself, so he shot himself in the jaw.
Well,
himself out of a window and breaking both his legs.
No, that was his brother.
What?
His brother threw himself out the window and broke his legs.
But Robespierre tried to kill himself and shot himself in the jaw.
Well, it's argued whether or not he shot himself in the jaw or if someone else did. Even a name of the other guy.
But they decided to go down the road of someone shot him, so they just say that
shut
him up. In this story, they decide...
No, in this... Not, but master?
Yes.
They do not show us the shooting scene.
No, I know that. They walk out of the room. You hear the bang. They walk out of the room and the bloke says...
They're laughing.
Yeah.
That
shut him up. And he's holding his mouth.
So it could have been either way.
Yes, I know.
They say somebody shot him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't remember.
Yeah, they say it later, don't they?
Yes, they do. Anyway, back to the story. So for fun, and just for the sake of this story, Napoleon's in it. And I quite liked that thing, because there was a link between Napoleon.
So did I.
Because obviously Napoleon, that was the next stage in French history, wasn't it?
But it took a couple of years after this until... Yeah.
I think Ian and who is it? He went with John Sterling to try and stop the killing of Robespierre, didn't they? But they didn't quite get there in time. And
I think they just went to see what was going on because
I got the feeling they were going to try and stop it.
The opinion I got was just let's go and see what's happening at the palace, and they didn't say we're going to stop Robespierre being killed.
I thought they were going to try, but...
No.
No, okay.
But they can't change history, can they? I mean, that's the whole point that the Doctor says. You know, we know that Robespierre goes to the guillotine.
Yeah.
So they can't do it. That's why Ian actually persuades him to go there, but too late.
Yeah.
Knowing they'll arrive there too late. But they can't do it, can they?
I must have lost the plot with that part, particular part of it. So that's essentially it. They a lot of filming of maps. And stop believing on the microphone. and they end
it's
up...
Not, it's definitely not me.
Eventually,
I'm pouring wine.
A long coach ride back in the TARDIS.
By the way,
that's a very dramatic use of map.
It was, wasn't it? Yes, very poorly drawn by a viewer of Blue Peter. Yes, Kirby.
You referred to that as a palace. It is not. It's I cannot pronounce French, so it's the Hotel de Ville.
Oh, okay, whatever. Hotel...
And yes... the convention ordered the arrest of Robespierre, his brother Augustin, and a bunch of other people. And
opening up under window. When, it's Mandy! For God's sake.
It is Andy.
What? It's not me. What? It's not.
You can't stop people breathing.
In order to avoid capture, Augustin Robespierre, that's...
Stop breathing, Andy.
That's Robespierre's brother threw himself out a window.
Okay, yes, right. Stop opening up other windows because you know that Cher appears when you do that. Right, so that's the end of this story.
It's just the Stop Everything You're Doing podcast.
Yeah. Right. All right, my turn. I'm going to go first with this one, and then when you lot speak, I'm going to get myself a can of Stella. Right, now, like I said earlier on, I might have hinted to the fact that having watched this episode, this story episode by episode, day by day, I got a lot more out of it and was able to... enjoy the story, and actually it could in some ways have been chopped down by a couple of episodes, and if you're watching it in one fell swoop, then keeping on getting arrested and put in prison and escaping would be a bit tedious. But if you're watching it week by week or even day by day, it's not so bad. So it has its flaws, and I must admit I did enjoy it when I first watched the animated reconstruction of it. But now, because it is now a full story, because obviously the previous time I watched it, it was a case of watching episodes 1, 2, and 3 and then skipping to 5. And you really do lose it, basically. You can't really enjoy it as a story. But now, once you get used to the animation, it just helps you fill in those two stories a lot better. Just persevere with it. And having persevered with it, I think this is an absolutely fantastic story. It's educational, like Doctor Who was supposed to be in that time. Yes, there's a couple of things that weren't quite accurate to history, but most of it was. It was very dark, brilliantly acted, also quite violent. And obviously, they've had a lot of quite violent stories in Doctor Who up to this point, but it had to be because it's people chopping people's heads off. It's not a very nice period in history. All in all, I thought it was a really, really good story, and I really thoroughly enjoyed it. And I probably would watch it again, having enjoyed it this time. Certainly better than Censorites. What did you think, Andy?
Well, I'm with you. I've done my feedback. I think it should have been... It's a good four-part story trying to come out here. Because for someone coming from family teachers, got teachers around us, it's actually learnt a lot from history. You learnt a lot. You picked a lot up. But it was always the case that they're in prison, they get run away, they get captured, they get back to prison, somebody else gets out of prison, they get captured, then the person who's first been captured and then gets out again, it's like, oh my goodness, what's going on here? It was a good four-part story trying to escape here.
You've just taken away my entire comment.
Well, I'm sorry, but Adam actually beat me to it, because yes, he said himself. I just heard Adam open his can of Stella, and I want to, actually, I'm glad he's picked me up on that, so I'm going to run down and get a can of Salt Speckled Hen, because I'm running out of beer here as well. But it was a good four-part story that was done to 6, and it dragged. The first 2 episodes were good, the last one was good, the 3rd, 4th, 5th, oh my goodness, they dragged. I mean, I was watching Daily Motion like Debbie did, and it crashed. And I must admit, I got the point with thinking, do I really want to restart this episode? Kick the laptop, threaten the laptop in the pond? No. Can I not go on the next episode? Because I won't miss anything.
Andy,
but
can I
so
just
mu-
interrupt? Go. Sorry, but say, try and imagine you having not had that trouble when actually watching the episodes.
Right.
Surely,
actually,
you know, watching
actually,
it in a smooth...
Adam, can,
yes?
I stop, Adam, can I stop you here? Yes? In my feedback, like I did, I've actually said this myself. Mm. When you watch this originally, as your parents and my parents have done, because you and I would have been -1 year old when this first broadcast, you actually think...
-2
Watch an episode... Say again. Well, actually, I'm slightly older than you. Kirby's minus two. Maybe older, and Debbie and obviously Debbie and Mary are obviously lots younger than
yes,
us.
I was a glint in my father's eye.
Thank you.
Well, I mean, the two ladies are only 22, aren't they? I mean, you and I are nearly 50.
So there's half a year already.
But the whole point is, right, when we watched this originally, if in the day, we'd have watched a week with nowhere going back. So then again, we're excited. What's happening next week? What's the next week? I watched this over 2 days. Oh, my God, it was dreadful. It drags because they got captured. They escaped. They got captured. They escaped. For God's sake, just run away. Go back to the King Forest and... I want to slap them. I really want to go... blooming slap those people because they're so blooming stupid, aren't they?
Yes. You're right now.
Yeah.
Have you finished? Yes,
I've actually burst on my dressing off your lawn today, but oh my goodness, this was a good 3 or 4 part story. It was dragged to 6, but you didn't have the capacity to be a 6 part story. Because they had to pad it out. But you think, you know, what you learned being someone who knew, as the doctor said towards the end, you observe, you understand what's going on. And Barbara got that. She'd obviously learned from the Aztecs when she tried to change history and couldn't. Therefore, she learned. And obviously, Marco Polo again, it's like, you're in a situation, you know what's going to happen. But actually, thank you, Le Kirby. You actually understand what's going to happen. You can see what's going to happen. But you can learn so much and pick up yourself about what's happening. And from a sociological point of view, understand how human society moves on from that. So obviously, the French Revolution, yes, they got rid of the gentry. Bonaparte came in. Bonaparte obviously went later. And that's why we've now got the French are incompetent anyway, aren't they? Let's not go there.
Do apologise, French listeners, and we do have a handful of listeners in France. They're probably British.
Paris is nice. I like Paris. You've got nice wine and nice dad clubs, but that's it. But actually, you actually learn so much. And that's the whole point about what you can do for a story. But this should have been a 4-part story, tight, compact, but it dragged so much. But there's so much it could have been so much better.
Thank you, Andy. Right then. Mary.
I'm going to log off and nip down and get a can of beer.
Okay. Fair enough.
I don't exactly agree with Andy, but I do agree with Adam that when I first saw this, I too was trying to watch it all the way through and found it unbelievably boring. But as I have learned, I watch it either, you know, one episode every day or every few days I watch an episode. And I find that each episode within itself is pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. So I liked it a whole lot better this time around. And what we would probably have to cut out if we were to reduce it would be some of the scenes that everybody at the time enjoyed the most, which is that long thing of Hartnell's doctor on the road, you know, with the road diggers, because that was not really necessary. You know, it could be cut out. But the people who enjoy him as a comedy actor really liked that. And a lot of his and his time in the tailor's shop, that could have been cut out. But then that too it's a delightful little acting piece between, you know, Hartnell and the guy playing the tailor. And a lot of the interactions of the doctor with the jailer are also kind of amusing. So that's the kind of stuff that would probably have to go if you reduced it. But
Mary, can I just stop you very briefly? I've got somebody who wants to make a quick guest appearance.
Hooray.
And say hello.
Hey, lovely dog.
Hello!
Hello!
I think it wasn't quite that brief, but that was it. I thought it might be a little bit more than that, but yeah, she's going back. Put your belly button away.
Probably got more out of Caitlin Blackwood.
Sorry, Mary. I thought she was going to say a little bit more than that, but she's now...
No, that's okay. That's okay.
No, it's more is nothing.
The thing that I found kind of confusing is that it's a story that could never really decide what it was, because it is gruesome, but it was always being played with a background music of like comedy.
The jailer turned up.
Well, no, it was even behind some of the ugly scenes. We kept getting this music that would normally back up a comedy. It's kind of like they were forcing a lighter tone, even though the story itself was pretty dark. Mm-hmm. So that I was, you know, a little taken aback by. And of course, you know, we've all mentioned Susan. This is where Susan's character seems to take a real downturn. And Kirby mentioned they were already writing her out. Well, it was at her request, because she was already aware that they didn't know what to do with her. And the stuff that she saw coming along was just not stuff she wanted to do. She didn't want to be, you know, the weepy little, teenager. She was told she would be, you know, like a teenage heroic type, and that's what she wanted to be. And I found it very annoying. Barbara always, you know, as you mentioned, Adam, instead of doing, you know, what Barbara does best, she was always, oh, I'll take care of Susan. Oh, I'll look after Susan. You know, oh, I'll hug her and hold her rather than run away here. Yeah, that I found annoying too. But after I said all the annoying things, I still want to say that watching it one episode at a time. And there's a particular person who uploads to Daily Motion whose stuff I follow consistently because it's always good. He's always cueing you on to what the next episode is that's coming up.
Yes.
And all that. Yeah. Zarbi Overlord.
Yeah, Zarbi Overlord. I was going to say.
Yeah. He's consistently good, so if you find him on Daily Motion, follow his uploads.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mary. Debbie.
Sorry, busted eating a piece of pizza.
There's no need to swear, but you can eat your pizza. That's fine.
Are you Alicia?
Pardon?
Are you really Alicia in disguise eating
pizza?
Yeah,
I think we're having pizza for tea deliberately because.
I'd salmon salad at the pub.
Mm. Well, we were going to make something.
Stop but breathing sorry. Like that.
How can I breathe?
You must have the microphone right under your nose.
Is that better?
No, I can't hear you now.
Well, that's my chin. I mean, living Americans.
That's better.
I had... Master?
Yeah.
Master, I had the same problem when I was using a headset mic. Yes, you mentioned that before. That's one of the reasons why I changed to a normal microphone. Yeah,
but he can't do that at the moment. He's got a headset mic. But I can't hear him breathing at the moment, so we'll carry on. Sorry, Debbie.
So what's a normal microphone then, please, Kirby?
I'm just speaking into the side of my computer at the moment.
This is a microphone that was... It's a microphone like you'd see on... A newscaster's desk sort of thing.
Can you send me a picture so I can go and buy one?
Go and look at pictures of the podcast recording from Concasturbus's. And you can see the same microphone.
Okay.
Well, actually, it's a work convention, so for not going to things like that in the EV crew, but I never saw anything different, but yay. I would take your word as a master.
Okay, moving on. Debbie.
Right. Well, as I said already, I had problems watching this, but I anticipated it from the Marco Polo debacle that I had trying to watch
Marco
Polo. And so I got to watch it over about four nights. And as Mary said, I really enjoyed it. I watched the first two together, and then I had problems sort of towards the end of the second episode. So I rewatched that, and then I watched again, bits like that. And I quite enjoyed it. It did feel like I'd watched it over the week rather than cramming it all in together.
Works much and, better.
And did, it really did. It was really effective. I wasn't looking forward to it, another historical one, but I know that's exactly what Doctor Who set out to be originally, was to be travel through space and time, historical, educational for the, you know, for the teenagers, you know, and family viewing. We'll go to something that people are familiar with or have an idea of. Sorry, it was my husband. And I really actually quite enjoyed it because, like the Doctor, I find him utterly fascinated by that period. And yes, I was sort of biting my fist about the fact that there was such inconsistencies with the research, but it was, you know, with Bonaparte being there and things like that. But he could have, you know, he could have been there, but I really quite enjoyed this one. It could have been condensed. There was a bit too much to-ing and fro-ing to that bloody jail. But I really enjoyed it. Other than that, it was a good one. And I enjoyed the acting, and the fluffs were amazing, especially when the French translation had it on there as well. It really made my evening.
That was great. That was Debbie. That made me laugh. That did.
It was brilliant. I really quite enjoyed it.
And finally, the person who found it boring, it's Kirby.
Nasty. Well, I don't know if you read that entire thread on Facebook.
Well, I thought it was you posting, it's boring.
Yes.
We had a discussion.
Oh, no, I didn't see the rest of that. Do apologize. Carry on.
Yeah. See, what happened, I watched this over three evenings, two episodes at a time. The first episode was okay, but then the second episode was just absolutely boring. And so that's when I posted that it was boring. And went into the episodes 3 and 4, and it was kind of remained boring. And we had a little discussion online, and you guys start throwing French at me, where I'm going, what? And my French is not. I can sort of understand it, but no, I definitely can't pronounce French.
Sorry.
In high school, I took German.
Fair enough.
That's what she said.
Anyway, by the time I got to episodes 5 and 6, they were great. I loved episodes 5 and 6. Andy, you said episode 5 was boring. No, episodes 5 and 6 were really, really interesting. I got into the story. And
ratcheted
by the end of the whole thing, I enjoyed it. It was too long. It needed to be a four-part story, not a six-part story. Right. I disagree with some of the parts which people are saying should have been cut out. I enjoyed the doctor with the chain gang. but all back and forth, escape, be rearrested, escape, rearrest. That was ridiculous. But by the end of this whole thing, it was good. And I will very definitely watch this one again.
Good. Now, one thing I picked up on, having just watched The Sensorites and their sort of obsession for sashes being sort of identifying rank, I did notice it was a similar thing with some of the French soldiers. Some had sashes that went just across the shoulder, and some had cross sashes.
Oh, master!
Oh no!
Master. No, I'm not going to tell you anything about sashes. Part of the problem that I had was I'm not terribly familiar with this period of history, and that the assumption going into this was that most people were in Britain, at least.
No, it's a bit nearer then at that time. It was 50 years closer to that particular period in history. So maybe some people that had grandparents that were could remember it. I don't know. Anyway, right.
Great grandparents. Well, speaking maybe. Of sashes, didn't you find it a bit peculiar that the doctor could just walk into a tailor shop and buy a sash that normally in a structured society you would have to earn?
Yeah, well, we skipped over that particularly. Yeah. Sorry, we're quite tired. Right, we're going to move on now. That's a thing called feedback.
Hi, this is Fraser Hines, and you're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello, I'm Colin Baker. You lucky people are listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, the best podcast on the pod.
This is Sylvester McCoy, and you're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Come with me.
I can't. I'm going to listen to the 20 Megabyte podcast.
You come with me.
Me come with you?
Yes.
Me come with you. It's tempting.
Shut up, Tom.
welcome to the 20 Megabyte Uncouth podcast.
Uncouth, yes.
Right, yes, as I was saying, we have got some feedback. don't know how relevant
this
is.
Well, good afternoon, 20 Megabyte, Andy Lee here. It's 4:37 on Sunday afternoon. It's a slightly stiff Andy Lee for
reasons
I'm sure you all know. Just in the air with a glass of pretty shabbily. I'm not working tomorrow, so I'm going to have a right old sesh tonight. I am.
That makes a change.
But anyway, I've just finally finished watching The Reign of Terror, and as I commented to Kirby on Facebook, I was trying to watch Daily Motion. By golly, that was frustrating. There was times it crashed about four times an episode. Mm-hmm. I tell you what, I am never having the Netflix. I am never using
first YouTube. Breathing that microphone again.
And if I got a red hot poker, that bloke in the Money Supermarket advert would have a real shot with that great big backside of his. Anyway, enough said. Now, I actually watched it. It's interesting because I watched it with the version I got had French subtitles, so I've got an English language and French subtitles. And right at the end of the last episode, there was a Billy Fluff where he said, have you heard the nerves and news? And he actually put the subtitle that the Billy Fluff was in there. And he said, let's go, Susan. And what does let's go translate as? It's allons-y! So they're actually very relevant, you know. Very up to date already, aren't they? Now, The Reign of Terror. Reign of Terror probably made a very good four-part story. Yep. Unfortunately, it's a six-part story. Now, obviously, when this was first broadcast and people watched it, they watched one episode a week, so they'd have watched it over effectively 5 weeks. I mean, 6 weekends, but 5 weeks. So, you know, they're probably waiting to see what's happened. When you watch it, as I've done really over 2 days, by God, it drags, because they just go back and forth and back and forth in that prison. One gets out, another one goes back in. They escape, another one goes back in again. Oh, God, I mean, they really did pad this out, didn't they? So, like I said, it could have been a very good four-part story. And one other good bit to the four-part story. Well, again, it's very much like the Marco Polo that I commented on earlier. The fact that what you're dealing with is no historical fact and seeing... Really, perhaps seeing it from the inside, but also seeing a different view of it. You know, you saw it from the side, the viewpoint of the revolutions themselves. So you saw Robespierre, who, of course, was, well, not quite hoist by his own petard, but, you know, caught by his own guillotine. What a shame. You see the revolutions like the jailer, you know, but, you know, ordinary people, you know, the illiterate peasants who were probably had suffered a lot under the gentry then. You saw the side of the gentry, you know, people like Jules. You saw people like Leon, who really fought for both sides. So what you got is a good viewpoint. I think that was originally, that perhaps was what Doctor Who was meant to be originally. It was an educational thing, it was what the historicals were about. And as the Doctor comments at the end, when you, you know, see it at the Starfield, you're here to learn. And I think for... two teachers, Ian and Susan, they would be able to appreciate the opportunity to learn. You know, say, coming from a family teacher myself, I can see how that would work. You know, the opportunity to observe what's happened, you know bits about itself, but you're really filling in the gaps. So for them to go out and experience it for real life is, yeah, I think it's actually fascinating. So that point of view, it was a good story. You have people like Sterling, who was... now, God, it wasn't Sterling the name of the guy who found the SES. I don't know whether that was deliberate as well. But you could say, in a way, he's almost a precursor to James Bond, isn't he? Because he's an agent, undercover, and also he's Lemaitre. First who's the master? Yay, who knows, you know, could be goodness. You had, the story itself, though, really, it did drag, didn't it? I mean, that's trouble, because it was over four parts. And the story was fairly simple, the Doctor and his companions going to study, getting caught in the middle of it, and how they get out of it. So, there wasn't too much of a story. I think you have to appreciate it's the ability to learn, which perhaps what it was all about. You know, it'd be interesting to know what was the brief when somebody went to write it. I did comment at the beginning that, yeah, they seem to be able to speak perfect French, or the French we don't understand them, because have we actually at this point had the Chartered Translation Circuit working? And also, what's this radius? How wide of it can it feel? Because they are several miles away from this, aren't they? But I did wonder about that. I like the young boy in the episode, Guess of Man and Guillotine. Pretty punky hair kid had there, didn't he? So, yeah. But I think all in all, it's not a classic because it doesn't stand up to the way we see classics now. I think that's it. You've got to appreciate it for what it was at the time. That's what I said earlier. People who watch this over 6 weekends, 5 weeks, you don't have a chance to go back and watch it again. You know, there might be one or two rows to record the audio and listen to it again, but... once broadcast, completely forgotten, which is sadly why it's, you know, one of those partly missing stories. So I think we have to consider how was it viewed, how was it meant to be viewed. I think that's why it is. It certainly wasn't in the way that we probably all viewed it in one or two sittings. So I think we are being unfair to criticise if it being slow moving. For someone like watching it in 1964, it would have been a well-paced one. It left you sitting there, wonder what's going to happen next, and they come to another conclusion, but then there'll be another cliffhanger, another conclusion, another cliffhanger. It's the way you watch series. That's the difference now between the way you watch television now, where it's single episode. I think it's instant, and also you can catch up. You can even jump ahead if you've got access, you know, to various ways of seeing episodes, haven't you? Been broadcast, been stuck onto the internet. So I think that's... it's difficult to criticise that that's the way it was now. So all in all, as I said, it would have made a good four-part story, I think. There was too much padding into it. And that's the way it goes. So on that point, be seeing you.
Yes, thank you, Andy. What do you think of that then, Andy?
I think there's a lot of crap, isn't there, in that guy? I don't know what he's talking about. But no, I think the whole point is the fact that we've seen this. I've watched this over 2 days, 3 or 4 days a day, and it dragged. But yes, if I'd have watched that over 5 weekends, 6 weeks, it would have been different, because you've got to a conclusion, a cliffhanger, cliffhanger. What we haven't got the opportunity is to go on and jump ahead and find it. That's why we're unfair, because we can't watch it as our, as our parents would have watched it.
Adam and I.
Thank you. Adam and I would have watched it, our parents, over 1 episode at a time. We don't do
would
that.
Would have used we his eyes to watch.
There. I mean, you know, we could have sit there and watched it. I could have watched this afternoon after my run. Whole thing, one fell swoop. God, that was dreadful. But that's me watching it now. Now, how can I turn myself back to 1964, where Saturday night, 5:45, Doctor Who's coming on. Oh, my God. How's it going to get out of this? I've got to hang on for a whole week. I'm in the playground saying, my God, the Doctor, this is what's happening. Oh, my God, the Doctor's in this. Barbara's in this. He is in this. Soon in this. What are they going to do next weekend? Oh, my God, it's all over again.
Can
that's
I just say
what
that?
We've lost.
The thing is, the way they would have sort of done these little details was because they wouldn't consider that every single viewer would watch every single episode. You know, that some people might come and pick it up at episode 3, so they have to have something that sort of keeps the theme going, therefore the backwards and forwards to jail and stuff.
And they even do it now with weekly shows. When you tune in, they say, previously on, you know, and they try to catch you up.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do it with convenient extras and things like that now. Mm-hmm.
Must be quite a storm blowing wind for
you. Pardon, Kirby?
Cher's obviously around, isn't she?
Okay. Hello, 20 Megabuck Podcast is in Kirk. Yay. The Reign of Terror by Dennis Spooner.
I can't hear him.
No, I can't either.
For you, care listeners, we can't hear. Amo meets Prisoner, Cell Block H. It is the boy who saves the Doctor, even though he was rude to him. Webster dies in a cell with Ian. He tells him to give a message to an English agent called James Sterling. Unknown to Ian, the next person he sees is Sterling in disguise, but he does not find out until 4 episodes later. The actor playing the dead Webster had been told he was finished on this story and went to the pub. When he was brought back to play the corpse, he fell asleep. The Doctor wears a cloak again, which last week he said suited him. In the animated episodes, Barbara's hair is rigid and unrealistic. No change there, then. I have not been well for the past few days.
Oh, mate.
So that is all I have, citizens.
Oh, well done.
Bye for now.
Well done. Isn't he good for doing that?
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you, Ian.
Right. Any things that I missed on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, then, Debbie?
I hadn't seen anything, then but I'm just checking now.
I'm checking now.
Yeah.
There's news things. There's news things that we will discuss later.
Mm-hmm. Will we, Kirby?
What?
Never mind.
Yes, we will.
Yes, go on then, Debbie.
Well, that's Kirby.
No, I said yes, we will.
No. Okay, well.
Just seeing in the comments here.
Okay.
No, not that I can see.
Great listening, doesn't it? Okay, well.
Yeah, riveting, isn't it? Me looking
through. This is going to be very interesting because I don't know how many glasses of wine Andy's had so far, but I wonder if it will contribute to his sort of performance in this week's edition of You Won't Get This One.
Nativity.
for you.
And the first question goes to Debbie.
Yeah.
Hang on.
Hello?
Hang on, I've got another.
Hello?
That's
hello?
Debbie. Debbie, hello. We're talking, Andy. It's Debbie's question.
I'll go.
Hello, what, Adam, what happened there?
Pardon?
Everyone vanished.
Did they? Well, it's not my fault.
I'm here.
Yes, I know you're
here.
Yes.
Is Mary there?
Me?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, there you go.
Right, I lost everyone. I got on Skype, I got saying, problem with your call, everyone's gone.
Well, we're still here.
I'm glad. I'm delighted to hear that.
Are you sure you're not on my connection?
No, we were just discussing how many glasses of wine you might have already had and whether it would impact your performance in the quiz.
Well, actually, it's been two glasses of wine and one can of beer.
Oh, dear.
Ooh, out cold.
I am not working tomorrow. At 6 o'clock tomorrow morning, my alarm will not go off.
It's like reminiscent of the TARDIS tavern, this. Right then. All right. So the first question goes to Debbie.
All right. We're on to the quiz, are we? Didn't actually realise that.
Yes, we are. The first question goes to Debbie. Debbie?
Yes.
Right then. The second question goes to Kirby. What did the doctor surmise the gunshots were to do with, Kirby?
Rabbit hunting.
Correct. Oh, go on, Debbie. You can have the question that you're probably going to get right anyway.
I probably won't.
What did the doctor ask Susan to bring when he agreed to go for a drink with Ian and Barbara?
It was his stick.
Well, you're not going to get a second ding because I've already dinged you for that one. Yeah. Right, Mary.
Yeah.
How far from Paris were they when they met the boy?
I know.
What a surprise.
I know as well.
16 kilometres.
Go on, Debbie.
12 kilometres.
Correct. Right. Andy. What made Ian realise they were in the French Revolution period?
It was the dress of the people they saw.
Oh,
Kirby knows.
They were pulling out the papers, and some of them were pre-signed by Robespierre.
No, it was not. Do you believe in life after love, Kirby? It was Robespierre's signature.
I said that.
Oh, you didn't. You went. Anyway,
we've got enough of it. Don't worry. Ding.
Sorry, I'm laughing too much. It's going to make me cough. Right. Yeah. Sorry. It was
away from the microphone.
I did do it away from the microphone, and then I coughed. Right. So that was right. Debbie, this is your question.
Okay.
Oh. Okay, Matt Kirby. Kirby, what prison was Ian held in?
It's going to be my turn. What about the others? Oh, that's right.
Yes, Cher. Yeah, what prison was Ian held in?
I know.
Oh, the Andy knows. Go on in, Kirby. What prison was Ian held in?
The Chateau Thief, I don't know.
Oh. Therefore, Andy?
It's a prison conciergerie.
It was indeed.
Yay.
That must have shown it about 100.
Oh, go on then, Debbie.
I know so many times.
This is your correct answer question. Who was the first character to die?
So is that my question?
No,
sorry,
this is Debbie's question. You just said yours.
Pardon?
Who was the first character to die?
That Jar Jensen. No?
I know.
Go on then, Andy.
Rouvray.
Yes, it was. Right then, this is Mary's question.
Waiting.
Yes. Right. What is the name of the little boy that had rescued the doctor from the fire?
Jean-Pierre.
Is the correct answer. Andy.
Okay.
What was the name of Ian's cellmate?
I know.
Silence doesn't work particularly well on audio presentations.
You at least have to say,
Is he there?
I don't know,
Andy?
Is he?
Andy?
Andy?
No, he's disappeared. Oh, well, we'll have to give him one of those. Yeah, plenty of time to answer. Right then, Debbie?
Whose turn?
It's Debbie. Debbie said, okay. I know first. It was, pardon?
Webster.
Yes, it was indeed. Webster, yes. Right, so... while Andy tries to reconnect himself, that's what she said, the scores at the moment in a joint last place with 2 points each, it's Mary and Andy. In second place with 3 points, it's Kirby. And in the lead with 4 points, it's Debbie. Meanwhile...
One surprise.
Why can't... What's happened with Andy then? Why do...
Unless,
of course, he said he could only do an hour and the lovely Dawn has disconnected him.
Oh, another podcast destroyer.
Right, I'll have to bank up some questions for him then. Right then, so, which is going to be awkward.
You did it for me a few weeks.
Yeah, we did it.
He's back. He's back. It's all right. He's back now.
Is he back?
For an insult, too.
No. Oh, he is back. Oh, he's gone now. He was back and then he went. That's weird. Let's see what we can do.
Riveting.
It is, isn't it? It means, unlike last week, where I didn't have to edit the episode, this week I'm going to have to edit the episode.
Oh, no!
Who fainted?
Nobody fainted. What do you mean? Oh, it was Kirby. He's going to send a message in a minute, isn't he? My iPad's going to run out of battery.
Hello,
he's back. Hello.
Hello, I'm back. Sorry. They're not there. Hello.
Sounds like your internet connection's worse than Kirby's. Which is really weird.
Do you believe in life?
Is he gone again?
Yeah, it's probably the internet saying, oh, God, don't sing that song to me again. And then off he went. Yeah, he's gone again.
Have you tried turning it off and back on?
Adam, you have got to keep that bit in.
Anyway, right. Moving on. right, so where were we then? I can't find where was we? Who's that last
question? Asking Andy a question.
It was. No, he didn't get to that answer in the question because.
No, he didn't get to.
No.
That was Andy's question.
Right then. So, Debbie.
Yes.
Oh, for God's sake. Hang on.
Hello, I'm back again.
Oh, he's back.
Hello.
Again now.
Hello.
Oh. Leon.
Famous disappearing Andy.
Pardon?
Leon?
Just for the sake of it. Right, then.
Sorry, folks. I do not know what's happened there, but we kept dropping out.
I love the way you dropped out halfway through singing Cher's song.
Yeah, so don't do that again. Right, Debbie. Right, what was... Oh, hang on. No, I'm sorry. There's no point. I'll just do that.
No, right, I got the one wrong already.
No, go on then. The question is, what was the name... Who did Webster tell Ian to try to find?
Jane Sterling.
Yes, I just gave you the blimmin' ding. Right, Kirby. How did the doctor distract the man in charge of the road diggers?
I know too.
I beg your pardon, Kirby. Yes. No, I don't want a rendition of you. Do you believe in life after love? Eclipse. Did he say eclipse?
I don't know.
I think he did. Yes.
Okay.
Eclipse.
Enough after love. Yeah, I know the lyrics. It's one of my least favourite songs of all time. So you can stop blimmin' singing it. Right. And you got 2 points. Yeah, never mind. You got 2 points. Mary.
Yes.
Hang on, is it Mary's go?
Yes.
Yes, right. This is really slick. Right, who crossed Ian off the guillotine list?
I know.
Lemet.
And an extra point for the pronunciation. Right, Andy.
Mm-hmm.
Are we still there? My God.
He's there, he's here.
Right.
He's
here. I'm here, I'm still here, I'm breathing.
Right, what was the title of episode 3?
No, it wasn't.
I know.
A change of identity.
Oh, good for you, Andy.
Yay.
Not as Whitney down, obviously, of course.
Right, Debbie.
Yes.
Right.
Oh, you got your point already, Debbie.
Yeah.
That's because she always gets the answer right.
Well, if you listen to the question, you'll understand.
She gets the easy questions.
Who was Jules's companion?
Oh, Jean.
Yeah. Mm, don't be so enthusiastic about it, Debbie.
No, right. Oh, I said it in the French style. Jean.
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 Right, Kirby.
Master.
Kirby, why did the cart carrying Barbara and Susan stop?
I know.
The horse couldn't fit underneath that.
The horse what?
Yes.
No, it's
But yeah.
No, who said I know first? It was Mary, wasn't it?
And no, I think
Andy.
The horse to a horseshoe.
Is the correct answer. Right, Mary.
But it doesn't have arm.
What?
You beat me to it.
Get off with the question.
Mary. What was the doctor's final condition to seal the deal for his new clothes?
I know.
His ring.
No.
Come on, Andy.
Oh, now what? I was going to say his ring as well. No, it must be his jacket.
Oh, I know.
Debbie.
I was going to say
it's,
ring as well.
Writing. He wants some writing materials and parchment.
Shouldn't really give you that point, but is totally, completely, and utterly right. So,
hang on. That's what he wanted to do. Guy, what he's
yeah, that's what he wanted. If you ask,
the final thing to seal the deal
was
parchment and writing material.
He wanted the ring, and he said, "Yeah, well, if you want the ring, then you have to do this."
Yes, and that was the final thing to seal the deal. Watch the program, take note of the script.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then you'll get the answer.
Wrong answers before.
Andy, I think it's Andy's go.
Right.
Yes, it is. Right. What was the name of Jules' sister?
Danielle.
Well done. So, score update. In joint last place with 5 points each, it's the Americans. In second place is the slightly tipsy man. And in the lead is Debbie with 9. Right.
Right. I'm set with that remark.
It's Debbie's go.
Yes. Cheers.
So just for the sake of it, who did Robespierre think was planning to restore the monarchy?
I think I know.
You asked how to breathe.
It wasn't the horse. We just had that through a shoe, Debbie.
I'm trying to remember what he called them. The convention?
Go on in, Andy.
Well, like Nick, I say Leon and his gang, so I can say convention as well.
Palace Commune?
If anybody says another wrong answer, it will be a point deducted. We've all gone quiet. The answer was Danton. Right, stop breathing.
God, I wrote that down.
It feels like you're breathing into my ear roll, which of course would mean you're also breathing into the ear rolls of our listeners.
You lucky man.
Right, Kirby. Debbie, sorry, this is very important to emphasise. Because I gave you a ding when you didn't deserve one. Right then, Kirby. What did the physician prescribe for Susan?
Leeches.
That reminded me of Black Panther. Yes. That was the worst breathing into Eero ever. It was a sort of, hang on, I've got to do it like this. Basically.
Andy, move your microphone away from your mouth. No,
away from his nose. It's his nose that's doing
it. I can't hear everybody does that.
Grow a moustache or something. That'll protect
him. Still doing
it. Right,
why has everybody disappeared?
Nobody's disappeared, Debbie.
I'm here.
You're both got very quiet. Adam, Kirby got very quiet.
Yes, you know why, don't you? Because I breathed into my microphone. That's why it's gone very quiet.
Another half hour, probably, yeah.
Hopefully less than that. Right, I've forgotten who the question was for the leeches. So that was Kirby, wasn't it?
Yes, right.
Force of leeches.
Right, Mary. Sorry about this, Mary. I do apologise.
Yes,
that we get on this show.
I think my ears have been blown out.
Yeah, me too.
Mary, why wouldn't the jailer open Susan's cell door for the doctor?
I know.
Oh, because Lamont told him not to, ever.
Go on in, Kirby.
Well, that was my answer.
Were he being sent to the guillotine?
You're not going to get a point for that, Debbie. That is the answer. He didn't want to be guillotined. That's why he didn't open the door.
You know what? I was getting a point for that.
It was the third answer, and you got enough points as it is.
You know what I was thinking?
Yes.
What I was thinking during all that? If he can never open the door again, how is were they going to beat her, or how are they going to get her out of there after she died because they won't open the door?
Indeed. Can I suggest something, though, Kirby?
Catches in the doors for food.
Kirby, can you stop browsing Wikipedia while we're doing the quiz because it is affecting your audio?
Browsing Wikipedia. No, I need
is your name Kirby?
Oh, sorry.
Wait, I'm not browsing Wikipedia.
Okay. Right then, who's going to
that? What made you say that?
Because of your blimmin' share audio. Right then, Andy.
Oh, I'm not changing any web pages whatsoever.
If you say so. Right, Andy. According to Barbara, what should Ian check before deciding what people deserve?
Oh, I know.
What they really believe in.
Go ahead, Mary.
Your history book.
Is the correct answer.
Okay.
Yep. Does that win? Or does that have anything to do with anything?
It's because I had sausages yesterday for my dinner. You shouldn't really be able to hear it from up there because the microphone's quite a long way. Oh, you mean Andy's breathing into the microphone?
Yes.
Andy, move your microphone when you're not talking.
Just sort of try and put your hand in between the gap between your nose and the microphone.
Then we'll get this sort of rub effect, you know, like that.
Well, surely if he puts his hand between his nose and the microphone, then his nose won't blow onto the microphone?
What I can do is move my microphone up like this. Can you hear me now?
No!
My microphone is now over my head.
We're just going to have to let him breathe.
And just thank you, Debbie. I'm glad my wife will love you because I'm allowed to breathe.
Right.
I mean, I've only been back for 19 years. I think she'd like me a bit more than for 19 and a half years. Sorry, he podcasted. He was not to breathe, therefore he died. Doesn't quite work.
Right. Before I lose the will to live, Debbie, as you know, what is school?
My will to live, apparently. You want to kill me, down.
Right, school check. In last place with 6 points, it's Mary. In joint second place with 7 points each, it's Kirby and Andy. And in the lead, surprise, surprise, with 9 points, it's Debbie. Whose question this is? Who did Robespierre send Stirling to follow?
Barras.
Correct.
That was Paul Barras.
Oh, well done, Kirby. You get a point, an extra bonus point for getting the Paul bit. Well, I think Debbie still deserves the 2 points for getting the Barras bit. Right, Kirby.
Master.
Start again. After circling the forest, what direction did they plan to ride?
I know.
South.
Go on then, Andy.
Is he north?
He said you knew.
West.
Yes, it is west. We're not going to need points for it. Right, and Mary.
I used to. I don't get them anymore.
No, because that was the third answer. You only get a point for the
You're
second
winning
answer.
Winning anyway. What do you need them for?
Right, Mary.
Utter domination.
I think.
Oh, and it's shades of grey again, isn't it?
I think it's Mary's going.
The Dominators are. We don't get to the Dominators for a while.
Yeah, no, we didn't say anything.
Sorry, Mary, this is your go. Who visited the bar where Ian and Barbara had a temporary job? Full name.
I know.
You mean Napoleon Bonaparte?
I do mean Napoleon Bonaparte, yes. Right. Okay. No, not Bugger, no. That wasn't when somebody went in there. Maybe that was the name of the bloke who interviewed him, I don't know. Right then, Andy.
Hello.
What condition did Napoleon place on his agreement to do a deal with the bloke, you know, basically become a general law.
Oh, I think I know this one.
That's such a vague question. He would have a sole ability to say yes.
Please allow me to rephrase the question. Right, he wanted Napoleon to do him a favour, but probably just sort of become a first step on the ladder to being in charge. But Napoleon said, "I'll do that on one condition," and the condition was.
He said yes, and the guy would be. His total companion. Something like that.
Right. Anybody?
Was it that Robespierre would be arrested?
Essentially, yes. I'll give it this. The downfall of Robespierre.
The downfall of Robespierre was it, yeah.
Yes, right then. So, with not very many questions left, the scores at the moment, therefore, Andy in last place with 7, joint second.
Oh, thank you.
With 8 each is Kirby and Mary, and in the lead with 12 points, it's Debbie. Debbie's nice. Question.
Surprised.
Thank you, Cher. Right, Debbie. What condition did Napoleon place on his agreement? I've done that one.
Done that one.
Yes. Debbie. Yes, thank you.
Been there, done that.
How did they silence Robespierre?
Well, apparently they shot him in the mouth.
That'll do.
In the jaw.
No, mm-hmm. in the jaw, actually.
Yes, in the jaw. Right, Kirby.
Master.
What did Susan say a carriage was better than?
Where are those carts? I forget what they call those carts.
Well,
parts.
It's important to know what they're called because that's what she said in the script. Anybody?
But...
No.
No, the answer was tumbril.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, right, yeah. Mary.
Yeah?
Where did Napoleon Bonaparte come from?
I know.
Oh, bugger, you beat me too.
I'll give it to Kirby because I don't remember.
Hang on, that's for Mary and Kirby. It is...
Corsica.
Yes, of course it is.
Yes, it is, yep.
Yes.
Right. Andy.
Hello.
Be quiet. What was the Doctor's last statement of the story?
Oh, I know.
You would.
No, it wasn't to go...
I hate the French, into the microphone. It's your point. Go ahead and take it.
All right, so it's that for Andy and Debbie.
Our destiny is in the stars, so let's go and search for it.
Yes, it was my quote.
That was, yeah.
Indeed it was. So the fair final play, scores are, surprise, surprise. Debbie should go, we should have a look at the chase version of this quote. Just have Debbie as the chaser. Right. In last place with 7 points, Andy. In third place with 8 points, Mary. In second place with nine points, Kirby, and the winner, surprise, surprise, 15 points. It's Debbie.
And still champion.
Thank you. I'm here all week.
Will you fax me your notes?
We always do that.
Right then, there we go. So that's that was the quiz. Now it's time for some news.
Yay!
Oh, it's gone very quiet.
Well, not much news then.
I thought Kirby had some news.
Yeah, it's Kanji T next week, isn't it?
Kanji T next week.
Was that the news you talked about earlier?
I've got some news to speak about later on
when we do the news. But it's news now. So what's the news?
A couple of things. First of all, well, if I can be heard around the windstorm.
The windstorm.
The Australian word Kana is now available to watch on Hulu, and apparently.
Enjoy.
Why?
Well, still, I've watched a couple of episodes. Not bad. Apparently, K9 and Company is available as well.
Kirby is telling that sad. Why?
What?
Why?
What do you mean, why?
You said you've watched some of the episodes.
Yeah.
I watched one, then I struggled through the second one. I thought, what, this is utter crap, and then watch any more.
Why?
Because I'm a completist.
It is terrible. I mean, Australians trying to play British characters, etc., etc. It doesn't work. It's just bad.
Fine. Whatever.
It's bad. Right, okay, thank you for that. Was that the news?
Kanji T.
Not yet. There's other news.
I have some news. Last night, I went to see the Doctor Who, the Whosical, last night in Guildford.
Excellent.
It's actually in London, being prepared for the April the 12th to the 17th, I think, 4-day. It's the unauthorised musical, and actually, please, if you're in London or the London area, go see. Well, thing. Don't enjoy this.
Excellent.
Shut up. Thank you. Thank you, Adam.
That's all right. You're most welcome.
But that's it. No, these are people who have watched Doctor Who. Enjoyable Doctor Who thing. Go see.
Yes, I
Tim Drury from Tim's Take On has seen it as well.
Good. I'm saying I agree with you. It's just the way you said it was quite funny. Right then.
Yeah, well, whatever. One day I'll do this sober. You won't recognise me.
Excuse me. Do you know what happens when you make me laugh too much? Right, anyway, right. So the latest circulation figures for the DWM / DWA are quite interesting, but unfortunately they're done on a chart that doesn't really represent itself particularly well on an audio presentation. However, all I can safely say is that Doctor Who Magazine and Doctor Adventures have got very good circulations and are doing very, very well. So that's covered it quite well?
That does, yes, ample.
Right, Saturn Award nominations 2015. The 41st annual Breathing Into the Microphone Awards have been announced.
And it sees Doctor Who,
Doctor Who up to two awards. And the show itself is listed in the Best Youth Orientated Television Series category. Other nominations include The 100, Pretty Little Liars, Supernatural, Teen Wolf, and The Vampire Diaries. Jenna Coleman has also been nominated in the Best Supporting Actress in TV Series category. The competition is from Emilia Clarke from Game of Thrones, Caroline Darvermer from Hannibal, Lexa Doig from Continuum, Emily Kinney from Walking Dead, and Melissa McBride, also The Walking Dead. The Saturn Awards. The Saturn Awards are presented by the Academy of Science Fiction, Fantasy, and Horror Films, and will take place this year on the 25th of June. And then it says this year is on the 25th of June 2015. Well, surely that's this year. So why does it have to say this year on the 25th of June 2015 when it is? Yeah. Doctor Who Magazine 484 is out, and you can buy that from whoone.co.uk before you get it from in Barnes & Noble. So go to whoone.co.uk. Yes, Kirby.
I'm going there on Tuesday. Actually going there.
So what are you going to do? Buy Kirby a copy and send it out to him. You'll still get it quicker than you would do if you go to Barnes & Noble.
It's true.
Barnes & Noble, yeah.
But all you have to do is go around the corner.
Yeah,
it's not a big deal. I mean,
the old jokes are always. Hang on, that's got to be worth a. Right. Now, Hugh Walters.
Now I can't bring Facebook up. What is going on?
Oh dear. The actor Hugh Walters has died at the age of 75. Now, 75 is not a very old age, not these days. Especially when you see a woman from Japan who's currently 117 years old. It is a mere whippersnapper. And he's played three roles in Doctor Who. In 1965, he made a cameo appearance as William Shakespeare in The Chase. He returned to the series in 76, playing commentator Runcible alongside Tom Baker in two episodes of The Deadly Assassin. And his final appearance as when he played the sidekick to Eleanor Bron's Kara in The Revelation of the Daleks. So it's probably one that I most remember him for.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
And he was very good. In that particular part. Right, and there's another little thing about Moments in Time, Genesis of a Genius. So that's probably talking about. I don't know what it's talking about. There's too much blurb there, I can't read it. So that's news.
I thought I saw some more news.
Talking to a putty cat?
I thought I saw more news.
Oh, sorry, more news.
I can't bring up Facebook.
Yeah, well, you're already breaking up, so you don't need to bring anything else.
I'm sorry, I told a Tora Puddy tap.
I suspect that someone is streaming when they were told to.
Okay, but can I just say, just for the record, I have sent Nick, that's Nick from whoone.co.uk, a new banner with the current email address on it. And as I predicted, he hasn't stuck it on the website. So
it's not up now. I'm looking at it now.
Exactly. So that was a waste of time, wasn't it, Kirby?
You noticed a little dig at that earlier today.
No,
Adam, can you send it to me, and then when I go in, I can actually physically show it to him and send it to him again.
Well, but it won't. Can't you? Oh, it's the same one that's on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join. So if you just take your
I'll join it, shall I? Yeah.
No. If you take your face pad
with me, yeah.
Load up the 20 Megabyte page and show him the banner. That's what I've sent him.
Okie dokie cokie.
Yeah, that's essentially it for Who Won, because all the stuff I spoke about last week is still on it. Oh, mind you, I haven't seen that Dalek 3D mug. That looks really cool.
It is, isn't it?
That's a Dalek 3D mug. Oh, that's really good. $14.99.
Dalek's normal 3D?
Shut up, Cher. This is really good. Golden gold. $14.99. That's a gold Dalek base mug. Yeah, I'm going to have to get one of them. So, and if you want to get one of them, go in or tune in on the internet-y thing to www.who1.co.uk.
And said who1.co.uk?
And look up gold, I don't know what you say, but it is probably that, gold Dalek base mug. Yes. Right, next week, there will not be a review of a particular story of Doctor Who, because we're having a break from the journey just for 1 week. So it gives you 2 weeks to listen to watch The Planet of Giants. Why we sort of sit around and enjoy the, Kirby being really excited about being at Con GT. So me and Debbie were alluding to this earlier.
Mary will be there as well. Ooh. As will Matthew.
Oh, well, that's even better. Three excited Americans whilst we have to sit here and try and imagine what it's like. So I am really looking forward to this, Kirby. So I hope it all goes.
Oh. Goes where?
Goes well.
What do we need to be prepped for, or are we just winging it?
No, we're winging it, but we're allowing the Americans to basically hijack the podcast.
And this time, Kirby, bring along a speaker so other people in the room can hear what's being said.
I have already discussed that with Eddie. We will find a way of being heard.
Okay.
And next week?
That's it. I just said that. That is next week.
No, the next week, the week after.
Yeah, Planet of Giants, yes.
Planet of Giants, which we did for recently.
That was one of my first ones, I think.
Yes.
Yes,
yeah.
I'm looking
forward.
That's the 22nd of March, the Planet of
You're
Giants.
You're looking forward to, Kirby?
To watching it again.
Yeah, me too.
It will be. Hello.
Can I suggest something?
End of.
Has anybody got access to the special edition DVD in which they've recreated a fourth episode of it?
Yes.
So we try and do that one.
Sure. Right. In that case, the case of it's like 20 minutes of us talking, then now Kirby, we get another drink.
Well, it just makes it slightly different compared with the last time we reviewed it. We reviewed the original broadcast version.
Yes.
And if we review, just look at the I said three-part, didn't I? Did I say three-part version?
Yes.
Original three-part version. We watched the reconstructed missing fourth episode and do it that way, just for a laugh.
Have you got that then, Adam? Because
I have.
Well, they have that on Daily Motion. Or...
I don't know if they will, but I can. If you lot, I can't lay your hands on that, let me know and I'll try and sort something out for you.
So we want to watch an episode that was not good enough to be broadcast.
Essentially,
Andy, yes.
But it doesn't mean to say you're going to miss anything that was broadcast, because the broadcast bits were part of that episode. It was just that things were taken out of it.
I will find a way of not killing myself then, okay?
It's Planet of Giants. It's really good, actually, because
it's good.
You know, the effort they've gone into, actually.
Planet of Giants, really good.
Pardon?
You really want to go there?
Yeah, why not?
Really?
When we review it.
I do hope the internet connection is better next week. Anyway, right, so that's next week. It's Con GT Live. The week after that, Planet of Giants, four-part special. And then we haven't got anything fitted in for the next story, which is, of course, Dalek Invasion of Earth Revisited.
Which we've done, yeah.
Yes, we've done it.
On Daily Motion, there is a Planet of Giants extra episode Reconstruction.
Good.
Yes.
You're not got a Daily Motion. Oh,
well, either way, if you have any problems, let me know. But hopefully you should be able to see it on Daily Motion or some way of watching it. It's certainly worth watching. And I have to admit, I thoroughly enjoyed the reconstruction, especially as the fact they brought all the actors back together again. And,
yes, it was good.
It was really, really good. And something that Ian Levine has actually done something half decent for once. Bless him. So, until next week's exciting event, thank you for listening to the show. Thank you for joining in. And thank you for all the wine and lager and everything. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Be seeing
Goodbye,
you.
Fancy pants.
Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APB Services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.